On our first official date, you looked deep into my eyes and said,
"You really need to go shopping."
Shopping? What? Is there something wrong with my clothes? You smirked at my baggy shirt front.
Something wrong? When I first met you swimming at the beach, I never dreamt that fully dressed you'd look like a sock puppet.
And you touched my hand. I wear loose, floppy cotton that doesn't hug my shoulders or vice my armpits, but allows my muscles to shift and settle. My slim thighs and calves are curtained by tent trousers that change shape depending on which way the wind's blowing. My sex can hang in this pant leg or in that, and thick air bubble-soled shoes safely shield my feet from the hard earth I walk upon. For my body is mine, isn't it? Blood surges through my veins. My heart pounds like a fist in a cage, and saliva fills my mouth and flows swiftly down my throat. The first time we made love, back in the bushes by the beach, something in the very center of me exploded. My lungs fluttered, my limbs trembled, my groin burned as my lips wandered over the rock surface of your chest, stomach, genitals.
You're going to have to start dressing better if you're to be seen with me in the village.
And so you took me by the hand and led me to Holt Renfrew. Acres of shirts on racks, like a million soldiers standing at attention. Mannequins and clerks pointed and preened, while mirrors glimmered everywhere. You dressed me in an olive Versace shirt, with seams trimmed with hand-woven herringbone stitching, a puce Armani silk scarf that swirled wave-like round my neck, and silver-studded Parasuco jeans that clutched my butt cheeks as if they were two golden apples that could never be let fall. I studied the square, foam-padded shoulders, the shirt stripes you said brought out a hidden red hue in my face, the French spiral-embroidered cuffs from which sprouted two pale-skinned hands. Yes, I recognized them. They were my own. Oh, how you chattered and laughed in the restaurant afterwards. You broke the biggest pieces of bread and buttered them with the longest knife I'd ever seen.
You look beautiful in that shirt. Just heavenly.
And I began to notice your clothes, the beige lustrous tie flowing in undulating waves down your smooth denim shirt that puckered so subtly at the armpit seams whenever you reached for the salt shaker. But later, in your bedroom, things started going wrong. When you removed your clothes, your body suddenly seemed less shapely than the fabric that had covered it. I huddled naked on your cold mattress, equally ashamed of the single-tone coloring of my skin and the pattern-free randomness of the moles and hairs scattered across my torso and legs. We touched each other with vague, hesitant gestures, while all around us swelled heaps of multicolored clothes throbbing with life. That night, I dreamt mannequins wearing beautiful clothes had taken over the world and were goose-stepping down all the streets of our nation. But when I tried to speak to them, they'd stop, open their mouths, and a faint styrofoam dust would emerge. The next morning, you and I woke and quickly got dressed.
Now you've got one good outfit, but a fine urban gentleman needs several.
And so you led me further, through designer boutiques specializing in mercerized Ralph Lauren polo shirts, sleek silhouette Dina Baldini business suits, jacquard boxer shorts, and hand-spun Ermine Geldno Zegna neckties. A tide gathered, rose, and I was soon lost in a sea of whirling fabric, wear sleeveless microcheck Dolce & Gabbana sweaters and knee-zipper diesel slacks spun in whirlpools. Cerruti satin vests floated in dizzying eddies. White Oscar de la Renta spread wing collars gleamed like coral, and Gucci goat leather belts thrashed like snakes in fast-moving streams of money. On the street, people stared at us. When I was looking in a shop window, three men approached and discreetly offered telephone numbers, home addresses, invitations to movie festival cocktail parties to me, a man barely noticed before. When we entered the village, traffic stopped, and men glared from car windows, their smoldering eyes riveted on the small Lama End sign, just above where my right nipple lay hidden beneath an 80-20% blend of cotton and camel hair. But at night, again, our bodies lay lifeless on your bedspread, as all around bags overflowed with Dada Damani jeans and Ascot Chavez shirts colored turquoise or champagne. San Rafael blazers bulged through closet doors. Print boxers and sheer fitted t-shirts spilled from dresser drawers that were now too full to close. That night, I dreamed I was trying to undress you. But when I removed one layer of clothes, there was another underneath, and then another, and another. You were a Ukrainian dolls within dolls of fabric, and I panicked, fearing I could never get to the center of you, until finally I removed a t-shirt and saw a pinkish swath of skin. I cried out, pressed my lips against it, but then on my tongue, the starch-like taste of styrofoam. When I woke in the morning, I wanted to speak with you, but you were already at the mirror, fully dressed.
Coming?
I'm not feeling well. I'd rather stay in today. You stared at me for just a moment, then took your credit card from the desk and walked out of the apartment. I did not put on any clothing. I spent that afternoon on the balcony hammock. I dozed and woke, dozed again. I dreamed of brief flashes in darkness, sludge-filled rivers starting to flow. Then, in my ears, a distant thudding. I did not hear you when you returned. I only awoke when I heard the gasp of a man about to reach orgasm. I raced into the bedroom. There you lay naked in a pile of newly bought clothing. A shirt tail grazed your nipple. An Armani tie was wrapped around your genitals. Your eyes met mine, and your forehead wrinkled.
Is it okay?
You said.
Is this all right?
It's perfect. I dumped bag after bag of clothes over the now thrashing body. You licked at labels on shirts, sucked price tags like lozenges, stuffed a pant sleeve in your mouth while rubbing Banana Republic chinos over your penis. I emptied the dresser drawers, tossed everything in the closet onto the bed. Finally, the $2,000 Hugo Boss silk suit was left. Only your face was visible at the end of the mound. I let the suit fall on it and immediately heard you exhale wildly. You'd ejaculated. I ran naked from your apartment and out onto the street. Shockwaves shot through my torso as my bare feet slapped on pavement. I raced past fashion boutiques where people pointed and jeered. What in you had reached in me to configure my brain pattern so quickly? You wield an inflatable device that makes my glands empty and filled. I realized the border between us isn't as impermeable as hoped, and we march in a vast army without a leader. You blow your whistle, signaling charge, but the sound's an echo of a distant ringing that's hypnotized all of us. Still, fabric falls like leaves from trees whose roots grasp the ground forever. I raced into the entrance of Holt Renfrew, leaped up, pulled down a mannequin clad in cargo shorts and smashed its hollow head on the floor. Shoppers screamed, sales clerks fainted, Stacks of boxes collapsed as security guards rushed towards me, clutched my wrists, pulled me down onto the floor. I flailed, kicked, bit. Fluorescent lights shone like searchlights in my eyes. Do you still want me now, my fierce, glaring lover?
This has been a radio rendition of Enough, a short story by Barry Webster. The part of the protagonist was read by the author, and the role of the boyfriend was read by Alexander Bolkiewicz-Smith. The music featured was a remix of The Lesbians on Ecstasy's Constant Craving by Sean Kosa, Boys of Melody by The Hidden Cameras, a live set by Meek recorded at No Tempo, and Constant Craving by The Lesbians on Ecstasy. Sound effects were created by Pagan Cow, Milo, Oyen Sticker, and Mach. Produced by Ma for QueerCore at CKT Studios.